Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
We're talking about one of the great, all-time great performances for an individual in a loss in the NBA Finals. Second most points in the history of a loss for an individual in the Finals. The most in a regulation game. LeBron James scored 51 last year in an overtime game. But I gotta, and look, to all my colleagues out there who are jumping on the easy topic and the lazy topic, I get it. I understand it. It's just wrong. Talk that the Raptors are going to win this series, even though they're up 2-1, feels very premature to me. Sports gamblers, if you're like me, there is going to be some value in betting on the Warriors. Keep an eye on that line. But I think the biggest misnomer out there, the biggest mistake, and we are, and not just in our sports, in our lives, on social media, in our politics, and everything, we are captives of the moment in 2019. We know this. Giant, huge, overwhelming echo chamber. And so and on my own network over at CBS Sports HQ, the 24-hour streaming sports network I work on, my own network was talking a lot about this idea of, well, clearly the Warriors need a Klay Thompson. Clearly they can't win without him. Clearly it was a mistake not to play Klay. Wrong. To quote James Carville, it's the defense, stupid. It's the defense for the Golden State Warriors that was a absolute disappointment, letdown. And I understand Klay Thompson's a good defender. I'd argue he's a great defender. Kevon Looney is an important body and a physical presence. And so from a defensive perspective, sure, those losses, the Warriors being beat up, Andre Iguodala looking like he's an octogenarian, all of those things make the challenge daunting. But the problem last night, the reason the Warriors got absolutely destroyed, 123-109 on their home court with only a handful of games ever left, ever, NBA games in the history of Oracle Arena still on the books before they move next year to downtown San Francisco, is because of the defense. And let me just, again, there's been so much talk, should they have played Klay? Why did they play Klay? Where's the offense? The Warriors have scored 109 points in every single game they played in the series. They scored 109 in game one. They lost. They played terrible defense. Scored 109 in game two in Toronto. They won. They played great defense. And they scored 109 yesterday. Last night, Steph Curry, and I think I'll hit this in an hour in some more depth. I've been on this for a while. This is not me being a captain of the moment. He is, I don't even think it's close, the second best player in the NBA behind a guy named LeBron James. He is clearly, for my money, the best player on his team. And some of that is his ability, and this isn't a shot, but Kobe can't do this or couldn't back in the day. Durant couldn't do this. There are a few players who are capable of every night in the NBA Finals or elsewhere, in this case against a Raptors team that is awesome defensively, fifth this year in defensive rating. Siakam is a physical animal in presence. We know what Kawhi Leonard is. Kyle Lowry's playing really nice defense. Van Vliet's been great on Steph. To go out there against that kind of a defensive challenge and drop 47 points after spending the last couple years pulling yourself back into the shadows, taking fewer shots, scoring 23 in a win in game two of this series because other guys had to get theirs. Before it was KD, and with KD out, that beautiful basketball that we've seen with the Warriors and ball movement. That's how great Steph is. And Steph showed it last night. Klay Thompson needed to be back in game three. Do you know how many points Klay and Steph scored together in game two? Put it together, the Splash Brothers return in that game two win. They scored 48 points. It's really good, right? Steph scored 47 last night. He was able to be, and he was awesome. 14 of 31, 6 of 14. I know all the stats. Steph had 47, his teammates just had 62. Steph was 14 of 31. His teammates were a really vicious, approaching 33% from the field, 22 of 60. But the reality is, the reason they lost that game was the defense. That Raptors team, and I'm not taking shots at the Raptors, they're in the finals for a reason. They were really good this year offensively, also fifth in offensive rating. And by the way, if you want to give us a call, 1-800-636-8686, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show, which I say it every time, I'm going to keep saying it. It is an honor and a privilege to be in this chair. This Raptors team is really good, but they're not an offensive juggernaut in the way that the Warriors have been in the past. The fact that every single one of those Raptors starters on the road scored 17 or more points, That's an indictment on the defense for that Golden State team. Kawhi, 30. Siakam, 18. Gasol, 17. Danny Green, who was on fire three-point-wise, 18. Kyle Lowry, 23. Now, the problem last night, the reason the Warriors won the game, or lost the game, the reason I think they're going to win the series, is they were absolutely brutal defensively. I was thinking about this. I was actually watching the end of the game. You know, when you write about sports for a living or you talk about them for a living, you like sometimes when the sports universe puts things so they're uniform. And I was on the Raptors. I was on the Raptors last night, so I was in a pretty good mood. Nice to get points when it's a blowout. But I wanted that game to end, however it ended, with Golden State scoring exactly 109 points. Because to me, it would underscore, and I think it does, I think it highlights the fact that as much as people need things to talk about and yell about on morning sports television shows, wasn't about Clay, wasn't about KD, it was about a Warriors team that played terrible, terrible defense. They didn't switch, they didn't play with intensity. DeMarcus Cousins looked like he had played or just run a marathon before the game. And Kerr, that 109-point reality, every game the Warriors' offense has been identical. It's the defense that's been the problem. It's one of the first things that a fairly frustrated Steve Kerr talked about after the loss.
I just knew we were going to score 109 points because that's all we're going to do the rest of this series. So if we're going to keep scoring 109, we got to keep them to 108, and that's the biggest thing. They scored 123 points, scored, you know, shot 52%. So it was more about their play, their execution offensively, their shot making. Our offense could have been better. Obviously, we didn't shoot it great, but you know, give them credit, and they outplayed us.
Did they ever? 52.4% from the field for the Raptors. They made 45% of their 38 three-point shots on the road at Oracle. That ain't a Klay Thompson problem. That ain't a Kevon Looney problem. That's a, hey, guys not named Steph Curry, and Steph's not a defensive stud by any means, although I think better than people give him credit for in the context and the scope of that team defense for Golden State. You got to play defense. I want to put in perspective a little bit, just a little bit, and I'm going to go with defensive rating, highfalutin, not that highfalutin, kind of geeky, but interesting. And I think as it relates to analytics, an important sort of metric to gauge these things, it's basically how many points you give up per 100 possessions, right? It adjusts for the pace of play, how many possessions in the game, all those things. In game one, that Warriors team in that loss had a defensive rating of 121.6. In the regular season, the Cleveland Cavaliers by far had the worst defense in the NBA. Cavaliers are, as you know, a disaster without LeBron this past regular season. The Warriors' defense in game one was that Cavs team, the equivalent of that Cavs team's defense, on a really, really bad night. Game two, in Toronto, still no Kevin Durant. Remember when the whole story was they can't win without Kevin Durant? They can't do without Kevin Durant. Warriors team shows up, plays incredible defense, 103 defensive rating. In the regular season, the Milwaukee Bucks had the best defense in the NBA. And that game two performance by Golden State, a team that when they've won championships in the past have done it with as good a defense as an offense, even though we don't talk about that as much, that Warriors performance was the equivalent of the Bucks this year, the best defense in the NBA, on a great night, on an incredible night. Last night's performance was markedly the worst defensive performance for this Warriors team in this finals. I mean, to say that it was the equivalent of the Cavs' defense this season is a disparagement that is unfair to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's call it a D-League performance. I'm not saying the Raptors can't win the series. I think Kawhi is a transcendently incredible player and a two-way player. And I'll own my own mistakes here. I kind of made fun of on the show that I do here on CBS Sports Radio at night from 6 to 10 Eastern. When Doc Rivers, who obviously here in L.A., Clippers head coach, compared Kawhi to Jordan, I piled on a little bit. I called it ridiculous. I said he's trying to recruit Kawhi. And the more that I've watched Kawhi since that statement and talked to some players, I talked to Chris Bosh about this, talked to Isaiah Thomas, the Detroit Piston, Hall of Famer, not the guy that's trying to still make it in the NBA, people pointed out, no, there's something to that two-way greatness, that level of domination offensively and defensively. Siakam has a big game. Lowry has a big game. Of course the Raptors are formidable. But that's not the same thing as you have to have Kevin Durant or you have to have Klay Thompson in order to win this series. You don't. You just have to play defense. You have to play the kind of Warriors defense that is expected. Draymond Green needs to be better defensively. Andre Iguodala, and I know he's battling time and wear and tear, I get it, has to be better defensively. And any of those guys that get minutes they're not usually going to get, I didn't love Sean Livingston starting, but if you're Quinn Cook or you're Andrew Bogut, you're McKinney, any of these guys, at a minimum, fight through screens and switch, man. Don't give up easy threes, because Steph Curry just had a historic performance at Oracle, playing like a hero with KD and Klay Thompson gone, and he lost because you let him down. That's the only reason the Warriors lost that game. And I'm going to say it again. Last night, the Golden State Warriors were just as good offensively as they were in games 1 and 2. The difference was defense. It wasn't Klay Thompson. That wouldn't always be true. For most teams, you would have to have Klay out there. That's how great Steph is. I want to hit this in an hour. I mean, Steph's an all-timer. And I'm starting to, this whole who's the top 10 player of all time, a lot of guys have played since we had those conversations in the 90s. I think he's a top 15 or 20 player. He certainly, I think we can agree on this, played like it last night. Steph Curry did what he had to do. Steph Curry offensively, was Klay Thompson and Steph Curry combined. That Warriors team, despite the hot takers, despite the easy talk radio and writing and television, the Warriors lost because they felt sorry for themselves. They played lackadaisical defense, and they let that Raptors team dominate them. The Raptors made 20 of 21 free throws. Get these guys out of rhythm. They shouldn't be this comfortable at Oracle Arena. Steve Kerr did the right thing sitting Klay Thompson. And every single player who played did the wrong thing in not bringing the defensive energy that they should have. That is why that team, that Warriors team, lost that game. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm on there too. If you want to clones crush me, that's fine. Or say nice things. Either one. You do you. Sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R.
Listen, do not take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get your battery tested. It is free of charge and one of the many services available there. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or your truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back in. Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm Bill Ryder filling in. To the two of you who are glad I'm here on Twitter, thank you. To the 15 of you who aren't, thank you for listening. Sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. All right, so MC Hammerfall has, I think, a pretty good point on Twitter at sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Says, give the Raptors some credit. Feels like a lot of excuse making in that segment. Let me clarify. Let me say this. I'm not trying to take shots at the Raptors. They're up 2-1 in the NBA Finals against certainly the most dominant basketball team in the NBA this decade. And I would argue, in fact, we had on the television show that I host over on CBS Sports HQ, a bunch of people make the case that they're the most dominant team since Jordan. I'm talking former players, Hall of Famers, guys like Isaiah Thomas, guys of that level. And the Raptors are up, and they deserve all the credit in the world. And if the Warriors cannot man up, and put in the effort and fight through the pain and grind for the kind of defense that they need to play, the same kind the Raptors have played incredibly well, they don't deserve to win the series. My point is not to disparage the Raptors. Toronto has been awesome. My point is it's not about Klay Thompson. That's an easy cop-out. You want to tell me the Raptors have earned it? You're right. You want to tell me the Raptors is the better team at least through the three games we've seen of the NBA Finals? They're not wrong. But let's remember that this is a Warriors team that has been down at almost every step of the way in all of their championship quests. First time, 2015, that they made that run and began in the postseason. We didn't know it then, but began what was going to be this dominant stretch of five consecutive NBA Finals appearances and either three or four championships. We'll see which one it settles on when this thing's over. They, in the second round of the playoffs, if memory serves, got down 2-1 to Memphis. And everybody, Charles Barkley, everybody said, aha, here it is. Told you, can't win an NBA championship shooting threes. Do you know what happened? The Warriors rattled off three consecutive wins, went on to an NBA championship. Down the next year, 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. after one of those 73 games of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And everybody said, oh, yeah, yeah, this was a flash in the pan. The regular season was different. And they came back and they won that series and lost to LeBron and the Cavs after getting up 3-1. They were down 3-2 to the Rockets last year in the Western Conference Finals, and they won. They were down 2-1 in the finals all the way back in 2015 in the finals against LeBron James when LeBron didn't have a lot of help because Kyrie got hurt. The point is, we've seen the Warriors have a recipe for success and not execute it until the end of series. This isn't new. This isn't shocking. There are very few Jordans who never get to a Game 7 in an NBA Finals and go a perfect 6-0. And yet I think Jordan's such an overwhelming presence in the sports imagination out there. Kind of like conception. He planted these seeds of how we think we're supposed to assess these things. My point is simply this. It ain't about Klay Thompson. And the idea that you would risk Klay Thompson later in the series to win a Game 3 that history tells us you don't need to win the series, when if you just played some freaking defense, you might win the game? That's my point. And I'm with Steve Kerr. He talked about this, again, after the loss last night at Oracle, down 2-1. And obviously, Kerr knew there was going to be a lot of questions about did he make a mistake playing Klay Thompson. I thought his answer was spot on.
Well, the whole point was to not risk a bigger injury that would keep him out of the rest of the series. So that was the decision we made, and I feel very comfortable with it. Never would have forgiven myself if I played him tonight and he had gotten hurt. So you live with the decision. You make a wise decision, the wisest one you can, then you live with it and you move forward. So the good thing is Klay has done well the last 2 days. Now he's got another couple of days to heal. Hopefully he'll be out there Friday.
For the first time since last year, when the Warriors were down 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals, and the second time since they won their first championship, this Golden State team is not a straight favorite in the betting markets to win the whole thing. So here's what I'm suggesting. Here's my clones. Here's my my offering, my peace offering. Because I get it. You'd rather be listening to Jim. I understand. I wouldn't say the mortgage because, you know, if you're married or whatever you got going on in your life, you want that to continue. But a healthy amount of what you're comfortable with. Maybe even a little more on the Warriors to win this series. They're going to win. They're going to win this series. The Raptors are a really, really good basketball team. And the Raptors have a single star in Kawhi Leonard. LeBron James said this a few years ago, and LeBron was doing his LeBron complaining thing, and I'm such a brilliant genius thing, but that's fine. It's fine. He is a basketball genius. When he got into that series and Kyrie Irving went down in 2015, and Kevin Love was already out, he said, I'm a student of the game, and I can't remember a time that a team's ever made a finals, let alone won one, without three All-Stars. We've lost two. The Warriors have lost two All-Stars, and they're coming back. Kevin Durant's going to play in this series. Probably going to play in Game 4. We've heard that they're trying to scare up some kind of D-League semi-pseudo-fake practice to get Kevin Durant some time. He's going to play. They're not going to panic. Klay Thompson was aggressively lobbying his coaching staff and the medical staff to let him play, to let him do his thing, and they said no. The Warriors aren't panicked. Did you see last night at the podium Steph Curry laughing at answers? Same thing after Game 1. After Game 1, when Drake and Draymond got into their thing, the most telling moment for me in that game was actually the Drake interaction, because when Steph went to get Draymond, he just started laughing and pulling him away. The Warriors are almost certainly going to win this series, not because the Raptors aren't good and don't deserve respect. You make the finals, you've earned respect, regardless of what some radio host does or doesn't say, because the Warriors are by far the best team in the NBA. And the biggest challenge was the team that was never going to beat them, ever, in the Houston Rockets. And if the Warriors had played some defense last night at home, and blame Steph Curry for that too. Don't get me wrong. Guy's amazing. He's got the LeBron disease. It doesn't matter how big a star you are. Don't complain to the officials. Get back on defense. There were at least five pretty critical possessions in the second half, and three of the times it was Steph, I think one time it was Draymond, that I saw, where the Warriors were complaining to the officials instead of getting back and playing some transition defense. Put your money, put all the money down on Golden State. They're actually dead even. They're both minus 110, Warriors and the Raptors, to win this series. And I don't, maybe because we're bored with the Warriors, we don't want to give them credit, or when you praise the obvious, people start to get frustrated with you and accuse you of being sycophantic. I remember people saying the same garbage about Jordan. And you know what happened? Jordan missed out on a whole bunch of MVPs he should have gotten for this silly, stop being all over Jordan. Same thing for Kobe and Shaq. Each of those guys lost out on MVPs that Steve Nash got and didn't deserve. I got to be careful. I don't know what it is about Steve Nash. I moved back to L.A. about 2 months ago. I've seen Steve Nash literally 31 times. I mean, I'm not important enough to be punked, but I feel like I'm being punked. Like something's happening. So, Steve, I'm probably going to bump into you at the grocery store. And I've seen him in Manhattan Beach, in Burbank, and down. I don't know what's going on. I digress. Steve Nash did not deserve those MVPs because we get accustomed, we get bored with consistent greatness, even though we claim that we want it. Same thing with this Golden State Warriors team. They are better than everybody. They have been, and they could have won the game last night if they hadn't played defense like a bunch of D-leaguers. We're going to welcome on a guy who often argues that I'm wrong. We never agree on NBA topics, and yet I believe, and I said this at the start of the show, I think he's one of the best NBA writers in the country. He used to cover the Lakers here in Los Angeles. He now covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News. He is a must-follow if you are interested in the sport. Mark G, as in great, Mark G underscore Medina. Mr. Medina, my friend, what's up, buddy? Is that too nice? I feel like I'm not usually this nice to you.
I know. Well, I'm sure your tune will change in a minute or two, so I'll take it. I'll take the compliments while they're coming because I know it'll stop at some point.
I'm feeling so sensitive with the clones that maybe I'm just searching for friends, Mark. Who knows? All right, let me give you my theory, my sort of perspective, and you tell me why I'm wrong or I'm right or I'm missing something. For me, I understand all the talk about Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, but that was a terrible Warriors defense last night, and Steph Curry put up the same numbers, basically, that he and Klay did in Game 2. For my money, the biggest storyline from last night was the defense for the Warriors, not the decision by Steve Kerr to give Klay that extra amount of time to rest. What do you say?
Yeah, it's a catch-22. I mean, in the NBA playoffs, you kind of have to do whatever you can to win a game. But I think with Klay's injury, it wasn't even just a pain threshold deal. This is one of these things where it's a hamstring. So if you make one weird twist, all of a sudden you're out for the rest of the finals. And, you know, who knows, you're spending the whole summer just rehabbing. So I think that's where the Warriors are erred on the side of cautiousness. Like, the vibe I'm getting is he's going to be playing in Game 4. But I think that Steve and the training staff was just thinking, okay, there is a scenario that he steps on the court and makes a weird cut and things go south. And the reason why they thought that is he wasn't really doing a lot of things before that, right? He was getting some shooting drills, and hey, Klay was making shots, but he wasn't really running hard or making cuts, and obviously that's a lot of things that he'll have to do in an actual game.
Mark Medina here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Bill Ryder filling in. Mark, do you have any sense, and I saw some reports out there that Klay wanted to play, but Klay always wants to play. The guy's the Iron Man of that team, and obviously the team decided not to allow him to do that. Any sense of how close he came to being a part of that Game 3 last night?
Yeah, I talked with Steve Kerr, and he was saying he was very good at stating his case, but I think, you know, where the Warriors kind of drew the line in the sand is they were getting information from their training staff that there is a risk that this could cause long-term damage. Usually, you know, sometimes there's injuries like when Klay had his ankle injury last year during the finals when J.R. Smith knocked into him, where there's an element of, like, the injury itself can't get worse. Like, it might be painful, you might, feel discomfort when you're moving, but it's not going to do anything structurally. And here, because of the dicey, sensitive nature of hamstrings, it's a much different scenario. So I think it's a stretch to say that the Warriors were, you know, accepting a short-term loss, as in, you know, losing Game 3 and just throwing up a white flag. Like, when you look at Steph Curry's performance and everything else, the Warriors definitely tried to win Game 3, but they weren't going to just exhaust every resource with putting Klay out there, knowing that, hey, you might get Klay for part of Game 3, but maybe that results in him not being available for Game 4, Game 5, and possibly beyond.
All right, Mark Medina. Kevin Durant, what are you hearing from the folks, your sources, and the people in and around that organization as it relates to the likelihood that KD will play tomorrow?
Yeah, that is that's an unknown. I think that there's brewing optimism that he'll definitely come back during the finals, but there's not exact clarity of does that mean it's going to be game four or game five. If I had to predict, I think he'll be back for game four, but there's some steps that Kevin has to take. He hasn't even done a full practice yet, and that's a precursor that Steve Kerr has said he has to do, because he's been sidelined ever since injuring his right calf late in game five against the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference semifinals. Right now, the Warriors don't have like a scheduled practice per se today. It's more of just kind of a walkthrough. But right now, they're planning to have Kevin go to the practice facility, do his shooting workout, and you know, have him do a workout regimen, you know, in the weight room. And then there's a possibility that he'll do some 3-on-3, 5-on-5 with some of the young guys, some of the assistant coaches. But is that mean that he's definitely coming back for game four? Like, it's one thing if he's getting live action with the normal all-stars and they're going up and down the floor, but the Warriors don't normally really do that in the playoffs to begin with because they're trying to save his legs. So they're encountering a little bit of a gray area when it comes to his return.
Mark, every single one of those Raptors starters last night had really big games, particularly offensively. Outside of Kawhi Leonard, going forward, which of those players poses the biggest problem, matchup problem, challenge for the Warriors?
Well, yeah, you hit it obviously with Kawhi Leonard, but I think where the Warriors have been really stuck in this tough position is that they entered the series saying, hey, we're going to exhaust every blood, sweat, and tear and double team on Kawhi for obvious reasons. And even if he's scoring a lot of points, let's just make it more difficult for him and dare other players to contribute. Well, you know what? A lot of the Raptors players have taken on the dare with Pascal Siakam and Marc Gasol. Kyle Lowry will never be seen as like this offensive specialist, but he's been really good defensively and just, you know, making all those impact plays. And I think when you're looking at it, Draymond Green takes a lot of the blame for it. Like, he was playing out of his mind in the previous series against Houston and Portland, and you were seeing not only from an eye test standpoint, but from a statistical standpoint, he was playing his best basketball ever in his career. And I think when you're looking at this series, he hasn't quite had the same impact, not even just with the shots he's missed, but his overall defensive presence. And look, it's asking a lot for Draymond to cover so much ground, especially with how, you know, much there have been different injuries with, you know, Kevin Durant being out, now Klay Thompson. Andre Iguodala has been banged up with different injuries. DeMarcus Cousins has just been getting back into the swing of things and has shown mixed progress with how rusty he is and how just ready he is to play in a game. But this is what Draymond Green is all about. Like, this is why he has often been considered one of the best NBA players, that he wants to cover a lot of ground, and he usually has the talent to do that. So not to say that he has to guard every single guy on every single possession, but he has to set the tone with his overall effort and just ability to communicate to help guys be organized.
Mark Medina here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Mark covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News on Twitter, MarkG_Medina. Mark, over this five-year run to five consecutive NBA Finals, those guys that have been on the Warriors for the entirety of that run have played in what is approaching almost a season and a half of basketball beyond the regular season. How much do you buy the notion, or you don't, Mark, that grind is part of what we're seeing with the injuries, part of what we're seeing with Andre Iguodala? And I know he's 5 years older, obviously, than 5 years ago. Part of what we're seeing with Draymond Green running out of steam. Do you think there's a correlation between how much basketball these guys have played, their own success, and some of what we're seeing in this series?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the playoffs are always about a war of attrition, and, you know, the Warriors getting through five consecutive finals runs definitely adds to that. I would caution, though, when you're looking at, you know, some of these injuries, a lot of it just has happened on, you know, any play that could happen to anyone that hasn't been in the finals for that much time. I mean, Kevin Durant landed awkwardly on his on his ankle. That's what resulted in his calf injury. Klay Thompson, you know, was kind of trying to do the splits and almost doing a James Harden move where he's trying to get a foul on a three. So that was him just making an ill-advised decision and then landing awkwardly. And then Andre Iguodala, for sure, the calf injury that he had, you know, in the Western Conference Finals against Portland, that's a product of him being 35 years old, having so many different ailments. But his other injury that he had in Game 2 against Toronto, it was him just bumping his head after Marc Gasol gave him a pretty good hard screen. So that's just what sports is all about. But I think the real interesting subplot with this, Bill, is on one hand, you have that accumulation and wear and tear of being at the finals for so many years. And on the other hand, you have Steve Kerr, you know, always digging deep in his rotation. It's usually unheard of, especially in NBA finals, for a head coach to be going 10, 12 deep. Part of it's been by necessity because of the injuries, but this has been his strategy, you know, throughout the season. He tightened it up a little bit against Houston because of how difficult they are, but then he really expanded that rotation against Portland and to open Toronto, partly because he still thinks, as long as this series is going on, that eventually, you know, maybe Toronto wears down because they don't have as many bodies while the Warriors do. So it's a very interesting chess match to see who kind of ultimately wins that endurance fight.
All right, Mark, so the Warriors have been down in many series, many times over the course of this run. We saw it last year against the Rockets. We saw it against the Cavs in the finals. We saw it 3-1 against the Thunder, the Grizzlies. There's a bunch of examples I'm sure I'm forgetting. What's the mood in the locker room? I mean, is there a sense of, if not panic, urgency? Is there some insouciance? Like, where are these guys at in terms of just their feeling and vibe down 2-1 right now in this finals?
Yeah, no one's panicking at all. I mean, Draymond Green was even kind of just outlining how the rest of the series will go. He's like, yeah, we'll win game four, you know, at Oracle. It's, you know, could be one of the last ones. We'll get on the road in Toronto and take one there. Then we'll go back and win the final game at Oracle, and it'll be great. So, yeah, there's the mood that I got from the Warriors locker room yesterday was threefold. A, they're pretty confident. They feel like this is just part of a long series where there's ebbs and flows, and each team has stolen, you know, road games, and that's what the playoffs are all about. I think the Warriors are also mindful of, hey, when you lose Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, and Kevon Looney for that matter, it's pretty difficult. I mean, they can absorb maybe an injury to one of their all-stars, but when you have two of them, it's pretty tough. But they're encouraged because they're expecting Klay to come back for game four and Kevin Durant, you know, possibly game four, maybe game five. And then I think third, the Warriors, to a man, were pleased with their effort. Like, Steph Curry played out of his mind and had 47 points. It was his best finals performance ever of his career. You know, the bench and Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins, they needed to offer more for Steph, but they liked the effort, and they think that they can just bounce back from their poor play. So the Warriors are hardly fragile at this point. They know that they can easily tie it in game four and then just kind of go from there.
All right, Medina, so you told us Draymond told us what's going to happen. You tell us who, and right now, at least on the offshore books, and I think in Vegas too, it's both these teams are exactly even in terms of odds. Who wins the series?
Honestly, I'm taking Draymond's prediction. I think what's going to happen is the Warriors are going to get Klay back. The Warriors are then going to get Kevin Durant back. And then that talent discrepancy is just too much. And I think with Kevin, they have that ultimate luxury where you're adding the best scorer in the NBA this season, and there's no integration process because it's Kevin Durant, and he's already had experience these past 2.5 years of, you know, how do you tap into the best of him while still being a team player? And then third, he's been out since May 8th. Like, he's had time to rest and recuperate. And, yeah, sure, maybe there's some rust for him to knock off, but it's Kevin. It's not like this was a year-long rehab or anything like that. He's still been able to get some conditioning work in. And, you know, as far as that integration, unlike DeMarcus Cousins, where there was always kind of that awkwardness and mixed success of how they you know, fully utilizing him with knowing that, hey, he's not the same player as he was with Sacramento and New Orleans. Kevin is Kevin. Like, he's going to be fully healthy, and he's one of the best scorers in the league for a reason. So, yeah, I'm still taking the Warriors in six.
Mark Medina, Mark G underscore Medina on Twitter, covers this Golden State team for the San Jose Mercury News. Great stuff, buddy. I think it's the most polite interview we've ever done. It's a Be Nice Thursday, pal.
I'll take it.
We did it. We finally did it. Thanks,
buddy. And I'm just honored you decided, instead of trying to get in a fight and an argument with me while you're guest hosting Jim Rome, we kind of brought the best out of each other instead.
Look at all the good feelings, Medina. Good stuff, buddy. Talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, man.
Good night now!